Welcome home, church. Welcome to the young and to the old, to the shy and to the bold. Welcome to seekers after meaning, music, or retreat. Welcome to the L and to the G, to the B and to the T and to the Q. Welcome to you wrapped in all of God's beautiful, diverse skin, no matter where you find yourself in the world or in life right now, you are home. Welcome to worship with Old South Church in Boston on this annual meeting Sunday. But be warned, you will not find a bishop here or clergy with power unchecked. You will not find a locked room full of unelected power brokers or a few wealthy benefactors making decisions for the many. No, you will find something much more powerful. You will find God's people, met to worship and heed God's call together for the 351st time. On this day after worship, the members of this church invite God among us to lead us in the creation of the shape of our life together over the next year. We will elect and commission new leaders, bid farewell to old ones. We will receive reports and the budget. We will remember our dead. And all of this we do, we trust, with the blessing of the living God upon us. So we ask all of you members and associate members of this church to gather yourselves at this annual meeting of the congregation by clicking the link found at oldsouth.org/Sundays after the credits. But if not taking part in this meeting does make you feel left out, makes you jealous, makes you want to get in on the action, well then pop over to oldsouth.org/Sundays and fill out our virtual friendship pad. Let us know who you are and where you're from and how you might want to get involved. You'll be glad you did. Friends, let us gather our voices and our hearts in song and prayer and worship the living God. Let us come before God in honesty, bringing everything we are, all of our thoughts and our pain before the God who can take it. God, we are done. We are so so done today. Done with the masks and with the restrictions, done with Zoom and live stream. We want so badly for this to be over. We want to gather on this day. At annual meeting in person, we want to cram into Mary Norton Hall. We want to search for a seat. We want to pass macaroni and cheese and bump elbows in the process. We want to take up the work of your church in person. So take our frustrations, O God. Take our anger and our yearning and convert them into gratitude, into patience, into love, so that when we do gather again, we do so freed and transformed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hi kids, it's Pastor Thomas. Today, I have three questions for you. One, have you ever felt left out from something? Two, or have you heard about or seen other people being treated unfairly? And three, how did you feel? See, when I have felt left out or seen people treated unfairly, I felt sad. And sometimes even angry. And then I start thinking. I think about what I could do to make things different or better. And in today's scripture story, we see the same questions that I asked you being asked by Jesus' disciples. In our story today, the disciples saw women waiting for food being treated differently because they spoke a different language. Now that doesn't sound very fair, does it? No, it really wasn't. And the disciples didn't think it was fair either. So, they thought about how they could help the hungry women and other people who were being left out. They divided their group in half. And one half would pray and teach about Jesus, and the other half would focus on helping the hungry, the poor, and a whole bunch of other people who weren't being treated very fairly. Now, I bet that might sound a little familiar. It might even sound like church. And that's because the disciples were starting the first church. In our church today, some things are kind of similar. When we see people being left out or being treated unfairly, some pastors pray and teach about what we can do, and other pastors help support things like Ralph's Soup Kitchen, where some of us volunteer to help feed hungry people, or some of us go advocate for changes in how the government does things to make things more fair and to make things better. Here at Old South Church, we ask ourselves the same questions that I asked you, and then we think about what we can do to make things different. We ask ourselves how we can make things better. And like most things about church and Jesus, I think that's pretty cool. So, I hope the next time that you see someone being left out, you think about how you can make a difference or how you can make it better. It could be as simple as inviting someone to play with you and your friends, or asking them to eat lunch with you when you go back to school. And if you're still in school at home, you can send someone a private chat just to say hi or I miss you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for showing us how we can make a difference. And we all say, Amen. See you guys soon.
In the months after Jesus died, as the disciples were increasing in numbers by leaps and bounds, hard feelings developed between the Greek-speaking believers, the Hellenists, toward the Hebrew-speaking believers, because their widows were being discriminated against in the daily food lines. So the 12 called a meeting of the disciples. They said, "It wouldn't be right for us to abandon our responsibilities for preaching and teaching the word of God to help with the care of the poor. So, friends, choose 7 men from among you whom everyone trusts, men full of the Holy Spirit and good sense, and we'll assign them this task. Meanwhile, we'll stick to our assigned tasks of prayer and speaking God's word."
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How are decisions made? Who is in charge? Who really calls the shots? How is leadership identified and vetted? How do we organize ourselves, divvy up the work, and choose leadership? In our case, how do we do these things for the express purpose of conveying the good news and, however haltingly, embodying the person of Christ in this time and place? In the days and months after Jesus' death, the followers of Jesus faced just such questions. In today's story, there is tension, grumbling, finger-pointing. Some of the work, it isn't getting done, or not to everyone's satisfaction. Moreover, there's an appearance of favoritism. Rifts and factions are forming. The followers of Jesus, they do what Christians have been doing ever since. They call a meeting, talk it over, and propose a solution. The division of labor they agree upon is interesting. They divide the responsibilities between those who will preach and those who will feed the hungry. And there's something of a wall between the two, a wall between the preachers and the cooks. Preachers don't cook, and cooks, they don't preach. These early Christians divided the duties in the fledgling church somewhat along the lines of those described by English journalist Walter Bagehot. Writing in 1867 about the United Kingdom's constitution, Bagehot argued it was divided into 2 parts or 2 branches, which he called the dignified and the efficient. In Bagehot's scheme, the monarchy represents the dignified branch by symbolizing and unifying the state through pomp and ceremony, mystique and pageantry. Parliament, by contrast, Parliament represents the efficient branch through the making of laws and the provision of public services. Put differently, the monarchy tends to the poetic and Parliament to the prosaic. The monarchy floats above the fray while Parliament mucks about in the dirty business of lawmaking. Now, we know better than to believe that the British monarchy is unfailingly dignified. It is not. Nor is Parliament reliably efficient. It is not. Nevertheless, you can't help but appreciate the neatness of Badgett's argument. Separate entities working in parallel, working in tandem, to achieve a sort of fine clockworks of dignity and efficiency. The monarchy as the svelte face and case of an elegant clock, while behind the scenes there is a whirr of precise mechanical movements as undertaken by Parliament. How humans organize ourselves is an everlasting question, with as many opinions as there are people. The earliest Christians opted for two branches. Those who preached were, as it were, the dignified branch. Those who fed the hungry, that is, those who purchased the food, peeled potatoes, washed pots, and mingled with the poorest of the poor, they embody the efficient branch of the church, getting the work done. In this, our 352nd year, on this day of our 351st annual meeting, our annual report is a testimony to how we organize ourselves, how we divvy up the work, make assignments, choose leaders, spend money, get things done, all for the sake of serving as crew to this old ship of faith. In turn, the mission of this ship of faith is to carry as our cargo the story of God's good news and, throughout the voyage, undertake Christian acts of mercy, justice, and beauty. Old South Church has not one but two governing documents, one prosaic or efficient, our bylaws, and the other poetic or dignified, our church covenant. And you will be glad to know that our church covenant is securely embedded in our bylaws. In one way of looking at it, you could argue that our Old South Church boards, committees, and task forces, of which we have many, along with the majority of our staff, that these represent the efficient branch of our work. By contrast, one could argue the clergy and musicians, those responsible for ceremony and pageantry, we represent the dignified branch. But I would like to argue something different. In my view, Old South Church at its best embodies both the efficient and the dignified in each and every incarnation of our life. In this view, there is dignity in efficiency and efficiency in dignity. In this view, our pageantry and our potato peeling, and we do plenty of both, are different expressions of the same ministry. In this view, none of us floats above the fray. In this view, the material and the spiritual, they are inseparable, as are our worship life and our works of justice and mercy. In my experience of this church, over the past 16 years, none of us is beneath potato peeling or pot washing, or mingling with the poorest of the poor. Indeed, it is the ease with which the leaders and members of this church unfailingly, over and over again, glide back and forth between the dignities and the efficiencies that makes this church something very special, very special. Human organization is endlessly tricky and fraught. As we have seen played out in our nation's capital, coming to a head on January 6th, no way of organizing ourselves can be taken for granted. Things can always go sideways. Vigilance is required. Indeed, the church, by which I mean the church writ large, the church across time and around the world, The church is no stranger to internecine uprisings, to divisions, factions, accusations of favoritism, complaints about leadership, even occasionally to the point of violence. At Old South Church in Boston, I would argue that the thing that holds us all together, the elegant clock face and the whirring machinery within, is this: the goodwill of the people. Your goodwill, your helpfulness, your cheerleading of your leaders, your prayers, your generosity of time and talent and means, your faithfulness, your seriousness about Christianity and about this church's responsibilities to God and God's world. This past year, that terrible and magnificent year, is a good example. You faced and met the challenges and the exhaustion, the heartache and the outrage, with kindness and courage and determination. God bless you. Crewing this old ship of faith is a mighty undertaking, involving every one of us, everyone at an oar, each pulling, each as we can. Thus, I declare, in our 352nd year, out upon the high seas, whether pounded by pandemic or bearing up to embrace the winds of racial reckoning, we are all hands on deck, holding the course, steady and firm, guided by our day star, even Jesus Christ. Let the church say amen. Will you join me on this Sunday of our annual meeting in reciting a bit of poetry, our church covenant? We pledge to give ourselves to the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, as the God in whose love we are grounded, and to Jesus Christ, God incarnate, who rules our lives. We give ourselves to God the Holy Spirit, the one who sustains, recreates, and guides us. We promise to walk in covenant with one another, with the wider church, and with the Old South Church, secure in God's grace and prepared in gratitude to live by the promise and serve in the hope of the gospel.
Let us pray. Gracious God, source of love, fountain of wisdom, embodiment of justice. Hear our prayers this day. May the anointing of your loving mercy and healing grace fall afresh upon us this day. You, O God, know our very sitting and rising. You know our thoughts from far off. We are deeply known and loved by you. May we extend this care, concern, and compassion to ourselves and others as we work hand in hand and heart to heart to know your vision of love, justice, and mercy realized in all the world. God, on this day of our annual meeting, as we reflect and remember this year that has been, our laments, our weariness, our silent tears, we remember that you have been there. You have seen us through, that we are even here today when so many are not, is a sheer miracle. For this, O God, we are grateful and give you all our thanksgiving. We remember today those among us in need of your healing embrace. To you, O God, we lift them up. David, Tom, Barbara, Alice, Della, Etta, Ed, Janet, Vicky. May they feel your tender, warm embrace and your deep, deep friendship. We now take a moment to lift up those prayers silently on our hearts. We thank you, God, that you hear and respond to every prayer of ours. Where there is hurt and harm, grant your healing. Where there is injustice and corruption, establish your justice and honor. Where there is hunger, suffering, harm to any child, any person, give us resolve to respond as people glad to do your will. In these hours, O God, may we find rest and strength, renewal and hope. May it be so. I invite you now to join me in this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray many, many years ago. Pray in the version and language that flows from your heart. Ever-loving and holy God, holy is your name. Your reign come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the reign and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Old South Church, we are so blessed. Everywhere I look, it's blessings and blessings and blessings. You know how I know? I've done my research. I read this year's entire annual report. So I know how very blessed we are with an incredible staff, amazing congregational leadership. We are blessed through the giving, generous spirits of so many people who share their time and talent and energy and treasure with this community. We are blessed with financial reserves that help us to care for this historic, beautiful, huge, and hugely expensive building, so that when you give to Old South, those resources go directly to funding our programming and can also be used to pass on the blessings to other organizations through grants made by our Service and Outreach Committee. When you give today, your giving is transformed into ministries of prayer, into more than a dozen small group communities, into activism that fights against the climate crisis and other injustices in our community, into the nurture of children and youth, and so much more. So, if you'd like to donate this morning, please visit oldsouth.org/donate. This morning's offering will now be given and received. God of the wilderness, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in the world. We give these offerings as we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts and open hands. Amen.
May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And the blessing of that God, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, rest upon you and upon this old church, today, tomorrow, and every day. And let the whole church say, Amen.